welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining me today. It's that time of the month again. That doesn't sound real good when we start that way, but it is. Each month, I actually, at the end of the month, I do a show called Conversations with Carol, and today is the day. So what that means, for any of you who are new and listening to the show, what that means is instead of a regular topic like I do where I'll feature an illness or something that I would like to share some information about, instead of doing that, basically what I'm going to be doing is just taking calls today throughout the entire show and answering questions. And those questions can be anywhere from your health to relationships to decisions that you're trying to make, whatever you'd like to discuss. It's just our chance to chat and just to enjoy each other's company. But the one thing I need to tell all of you, I'm not proficient at what are you going to be when you grow up. Part of the reason for that is I haven't figured it out myself. And I really came to the realization the other day, I'm not really sure I want to figure out what I'm going to be when I grow up. It kind of takes away a lot of the options that we have. So it is. It's going to be a fun show, a lot of information. Interestingly enough, the information that I share when I'm doing calls with a person, I get so much feedback from the listeners that this information, it's like, oh my gosh, this caller was absolutely perfect. I'm dealing with the same things. And Carol, the answer that you gave to that person really, really does affect me. And it's like it's impacting me. And I always, you know, the universe is just absolutely divine in the way it is, that what it does is it seems to draw us together at the same place in our own consciousness and then collectively on things that can be of value with so many different topics and everything. So that's what we're going to be doing today. If you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That's for both in the U.S. and Canada. And then U.S. and Canada and international callers, you can call me at 425-644-5620. Before I actually jump in, we're getting callers that are coming on the line right now. Before I jump in, I'd like to invite you to my Your Health teleclass that's going to be held December 17th. That's 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. The topic of this month is influenza. I'm actually going to be tackling also not only the regular influenza and how it affects the body and some of the psychological meanings behind it, but I'm also going to be talking about swine flu and the avian flu and some of the meanings behind that and some of the, when I say that, more of the metaphysical undertones of what those two new strains of virus are and how they're impacting us and how really they're reflecting so much of the thinking that we have going on today. I'm also going to be looking again at the hidden meaning, some of the psychological stuff, and then offering ways to be able to understand how all flu viruses, including the H1N1 and also the avian flu, and how that actually impacts the body and so forth, and mapping it in the chakras, and then also the role personality plays. That's something that I do in every one of my teleclasses. I really try to provide a comprehensive perspective of what an illness is, both from a clinical standpoint, psychological, energetic, also metaphysical, and then chakra mapping, personality, and then both conventional treatment and then alternative treatments that are available. The teleclass is 60 minutes long, and at the end of each teleclass, I always spend 20, 30 minutes answering questions, just like I'm going to do today on the show, questions around your health or anything that you may have on the topic of the teleclass itself. And again, that's December 17th, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, that's p.m., 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. You can register online at my website at www.ritberger.com. And also the registration cost includes an audio download and a printable PDF that will be you can use for future reference. I just did one on autism, very, very interesting. And the PDFs run anywhere from about 18 to 21 pages, so it's really very comprehensive. If you're an energy worker or you're an integrative medicine doctor, I have a lot of doctors that actually listen to the teleclass as well. Or if you have a particular illness or a friend that does, they're really of great value. So anyway, I hope you'll join me on the teleclass. That's December 17th. All right, we've got Gabriel from Colorado. Let's go ahead and just jump in. Hi, Gabriel.
Hi, Carol. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you, hon?
Well, the reason I'm calling is because I don't usually have a regular bowel movement on my own. I need to take powder magnesium. So I'm just wondering if there's anything that I'm still holding on to that I'm not aware of, or does it have to do with the food I'm eating?
Well, really, we would, honey. We have to look at it the two different ways. And first of all, the first thing is, let me go into the physical part of it. Not only does it have to do with the food you're eating, Gabriel, but I'm not finding that there's enough fluid in the foods that you're eating, nor, honey, am I finding that there's really enough mucus in the small intestine itself in the way that the food is moving, so it's not being digested or broken down or assimilated the way that it needs to in order for you to get the value. One of the things that you could do is that you could use mineral water, mineral oils, things like that, that would be able to help you. Interestingly enough, I found that, you know, so many times the laxatives certainly take care of the issue itself, but in many cases they can compound a problem if there is one, like the lack of mucus or the dryness of the way that the stool itself is forming. So what you can do is look for some ways to be able to work with that from a holistic standpoint. Aloe juice is something that doesn't taste bad at all. Chilled, it's really very good. You could try some aloe vera juice once a day. That has been known to help you. Also, the foods that you eat, what you might want to do is to be able to steam them, not eat them in that raw state where they have to take longer to digest. They're drier. The other thing that seems, I just picked up, sweetie, when I was talking to you physically, is that for some reason you don't seem to be producing the amount of saliva that is part of the chewing process. So it feels like the foods that you're actually swallowing are almost dry and not broken down as much as they need to when you're actually in that macerating stage of the food. And that's something that is a normal process, especially when it's the aging. But for some reason, I picked that up. So it may be what you would want to do is chew, 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 chew. That'll stimulate the saliva. And then also you might want to do some warm water or something when you're actually sipping the water while you're eating the food. That would probably help you. This isn't so much the food as it seems like it's something that you've had in your body for a long time. So I would look at it that way and say, okay, what can I do to kind of lubricate my insides to be able to keep the waste moving the way it needs to, and what can I do to add moisture to my diet that would allow my stool to not be as hard. So that's the first thing. One of the things that I find now from the other standpoint, sweetie, when I went inside, is that it feels like you've got some grief in your lower belly in that second chakra in that small intestine. I can pick up some worry. I can pick up some grief. Does the fear of abandonment ring true to you? Is that something that you have a concern around, honey?
I guess not consciously.
Okay. Do you have a fear around rejection?
Once again, not really, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Because usually what will happen is that when I go into the second chakra aspect of it, I will find the emotions that I talked to you about, the grief aspect of it. And then what I will also find is many times there's a underlying fear of abandonment. And that abandonment sometimes can feed off of a fear of rejection. And it's that cycle between rejection and abandonment that can make us feel like life is hard, or we have to work hard to get through the day, or we work hard on our relationships. So that is something that I can pick up that is in that area also. You might want to just spend a little bit of time, Gabriel, and just see if there's anything, again, not trying to condition you at all, sweetie, but just see if there's something that you feel like you're holding on, honey. And then use that metaphor to be able to build off of it to see if you can find something psychological to move it. To me, you feel like the fear that you have that's underlying is the fear of rejection. I mean, all of us want to be liked, but it's something that you seem to get kind of hard on yourself if you don't think things the right way, or, you know, they're maybe not perfect. But the fear of abandonment, when I ask you that actually feels like that has some other energy to it. So you might want to go in, sweetie, just see if either of those work for you. If they do, go to fear of abandonment and ask, is it yours or is it your mom's? And again, it's not to blame your mom, but we do actually hold a lot of the energies and the fears and the emotions that our mom does inside of us, and that's what it feels like it may be.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? Like, I'm afraid that she would abandon me, or it's a
What it is it's the fear of abandonment, and thank you for asking me to clarify, the fear of abandonment that I'm feeling doesn't feel like yours, honey. But it does seem to impact you, and I think that it's attached to your mom. Your mom feels to me that she has the fear of abandonment. And in that particular process, you, for some reason, which we do out of love or we do at a deeper level psychologically that we're not even consciously aware of, sometimes we'll take on the fears or the insecurities of our mother, and they feel like they're ours. And I just want you to go in and just see, is this literally your fear, Gabriel, or is it your mom's? Your body and your soul will tell you. If it's your mom's, it's your mom's, then, you know, bless it, send it out to the universe, but don't hold it inside, sweetie, and that will help you.
Okay. So you were saying this has more to do with the second chakra rather than the first chakra?
Yes. Yes, it does. It has to do with the second chakra. I know that the removal of waste is the first chakra, but where I'm picking up the physical and those hidden meanings is second chakra, sweetie.
Okay, because I was doing some work on the first chakra, since it was related to constipation. So I'll work more on my second chakra then.
Yeah, and, let's acknowledge that. One of the things is that the body doesn't always tell us where the origin site is. We always just go to the symptom site, very much like doctors do. So what it may very well be is because first chakra is constipation, it feels like something in our life may be blocked. That's kind of a psychological part around it, behind it also. But when you work on that, it feels like it starts in the second chakra, and that's where the real dryness of the stool happens, and then it just is dry before it even gets into that descending colon and gets into the point where it's removed.
So fats would also be helpful, like healthy fats, or is it more about water?
No, healthy fats would be worthwhile. Be careful of some of the seeds that you eat. That also can contribute to it. Flaxseed oil works very good. There's some research that shows that coconut oil can help in those situations. Again, I've worked with holistic practitioners, that nutritionists and naturopaths that have used that. So you might want to do a little bit of research on it and see if you can come up with one of those things that can work with you as well, sweetie.
Okay. And I actually do like mineral water, but I wasn't drinking it as much because they said, like, it's not good for your teeth. Is that true?
Well, it is. You have to, everything, especially with mineral water, if you do mineral oil. Now, aloe vera juice, from the things that I've experienced with through people and through readings, you don't need to be as careful. But, yes, you do, because it can affect other aspects of the body. So, again, you can take all of those things, Gabrielle, and you can kind of test each one and say, okay, well, should I do more mineral water? And again, your body's going to, it'll tell you, sweetie. But it just feels like what we need to do is we just need to moisten and somehow get some mucus, maybe some flora back into the gut itself, maybe some probiotics or some digestive enzymes, something like that may help that second chakra as well. That feels like it would.
Okay, because I eat yogurt every day.
Good.
So I thought that was helping.
It is. It is definitely, definitely helping. If you go back 6 months ago, it is definitely helping.
Okay, and I'm glad you brought up the saliva aspect of it, because I do feel it, like sometimes it's hard for me to swallow, but I thought it was related to the heater and the weather, because I live in weather where there's snow, so I thought it had to do with that. But you're saying I just need to chew more. Is that what it is?
It is. And again, our chewing is what stimulates the saliva to be secreted in a way that it actually adds moisture to our food as we break it down. And again, the decrease of saliva is an aging process usually associated with it, but it just feels like you just The food you swallow just feels dry, sweetie. So why don't you see all those things? Thanks very much, Gabriel. I appreciate you calling me, hon. All right, let's go in. Let's do Rachel from Canada. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Carol. It's great to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, and you too. So how can I help you, hon?
Well, I've got flu, and I've had it now. I'm in my sixth week of it. I'm at home at bed. And
okay.
You could give me some insight. Why is this going on and on and on?
It feels to me like you've got a lot of things that are going on in your life, and it feels like in that process, you feel like you're shedding a lot of things out of your life. Is that accurate, hon?
I'm thinking a lot about stuff, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what it does is it feels like your plate has just been kind of full for the last 3 months, actually, is what the first thing that your body tells me. And what that's done is that's gone in, and it's actually weakened the immune system to where you were at a place where, honest to goodness, whether it was just a cold virus or anything would come along and would probably knock you alongside the head or the body. So there was that aspect of it. So the immune system itself was weakened. One of the things it feels like is that the immune system feels like it's getting better. Have you been on antibiotics at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I did take something homeopathic for this flu. Maybe that's helping.
Okay, yes, that is actually helping. It feels like you're doing something where your immune system is coming back and it feels like it's getting better. It still feels like it could use a little bit of extra help. That's why I'd ask about the antibiotics. I can actually, now it doesn't feel to me like you have the bacterial activity that you did probably 2 weeks ago. I could pick up some bacterial activity at that time.
Yeah.
And so at that time, you know, antibiotics would have maybe worked. You know, something you can do is go in lots of fluids. If your stomach can tolerate ginger tea, you might want to look at doing some ginger tea. That's a very good purifier for the body, very good for the digestive system, very good for just cleaning the body in general. The other thing is, for some reason, good old-fashioned chicken noodle soup seems to come up. Some of those comfort things. It feels like you've had so many things going on that it feels like you could just use some comfort things. I would stay away from simple carbohydrates, anything that is going to metabolize too quick and spike your glycemic index or glucose. You'll want to watch that. The other thing is that did you ever go to a doctor, Rachel?
Yes.
Okay. Did they diagnose you with H1N1, hon?
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect.
Well,
that's
actually,
what it
the
is.
Naturopath did.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And in that particular process, because your immune system was already tired, and then you got the virus, and then my sense is that's why you haven't got over it kind of as quickly as others say they do. 3 weeks is usually a norm for it. But it does feel like your body is on the mend. And the best thing I can say to you is let's do whatever we can. Talk to the naturopath about what can you do to be able to help your immune system. I wouldn't do much in adrenal support. It feels like you were doing some adrenal support. But I wouldn't do much on that right now. I would focus on doing the immune system itself. And for some reason, you feel like you need citric acid. You need some vitamin C in your water, maybe some orange slices, lemon slices, lime slices, things that would basically flavor it. That feels like it would help you as well. My sense is you're on the mend, and your body is getting better all the time. So what you can do is just continue what you're doing and then amp it up a little bit more from your immune system, and I think that will help you, sweetie.
Okay, thank you so much, Carol. Really
my pleasure. Oh, my pleasure. Hi. Okay, let's go ahead and we'll take one more call. Let's do Joe T. from California. Hi, Joe T.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for the enunciation of that. What a beautiful spelling to your name, sweetie.
Thank you.
Is it a family name?
It's actually from India. It's an Indian name.
Oh, very good. So all the listeners are probably going, so Carol, what is it? And it, may I spell it, sweetie?
Yeah, sure.
It's J-Y-O-T-I. Isn't that beautiful? Anyway, how can I help you, honey?
I am always trying to be aware of my health, and that path has led me to, you know, the metaphysical side and healings and all. I love to dabble and explore and tend to use Louise Hay's Heal Your Life book a lot for information, and then you and other metaphysical teachers. And I'm dealing with my family, who my cousin 2 years ago was diagnosed with catatonic schizophrenia kind of just suddenly. And he's living with his mom and stepdad. And then my uncle, shortly after that, who's not living with them, but his father was diagnosed with some cancer and has been dealing with that for the past 2 years as well. And well, it's hard to, unfortunately, talk to my cousin. And my uncle tends to, I don't tend to talk to him about any metaphysical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really been hard on the family, and they've been trying every, you know, Western medical possibility. And I'd love to help, but I don't know how to bring up any.
Yeah, you know, I can feel that. So what I can feel is I can feel this tension. I can feel this resistance. But, you know, one of the things I can also pick up using you as a surrogate, that's the only way I can do this,
right,
is your uncle. I think that your uncle truthfully is reaching a place that, you know, it may sound, you know, negative to say it this way. I believe he's discouraged.
Mm.
And, you know, the good news about discouragement, as strange as it sounds, especially when you're dealing with a issue in the body as he is, when you hit that place of discouragement, a lot of times it can be a catalyst for wanting to gather more information or different information. It isn't so much that medicine has let him down, because when I touch his body, the things that he has been doing feel like they're the things that have, it isn't so much in remission, but it feels like it's just kind of slowed the process down.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a part of him, he feels like he was a very, very active man, and, you know, his world has shrunk, and he doesn't know what it is. And really, and when I touch him, he felt like so many of us that we were absolutely invincible. And this seemed to kind of come out of left field, the same way as your husband's diagnosis did. So one of the things that I find is that what medicine has done for him does feel to me, as I'm touching him, that it has benefited him as much as it possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things with the discouragement he's in right now is that he'll be open to other things. Perhaps, is he working with a naturopath at all?
I don't believe so, but I'm going to see him tomorrow for Thanksgiving. So
yeah, so you know, the best way I find with this, and even who I am, but working with my own family that, you know, still to this day kind of struggles with who I am and what I do. A lot of times what I'll just do is I will take the opportunity, and especially since you've done so much reading and you feel like such a wonderful metaphysician in your own way, that what you could do is just basically just do it as just kind of a topic of conversation. You know, that I was talking to somebody the other day, or gosh, I read something the other day, and, you know, about being a naturopath or using a naturopathic remedy or homeopathy or something, and just in a very benign general sense.
Mm-hmm.
And my sense is that your uncle is to a place that he'll probably bite, and
right,
then it'll be that he'll want to hear more. There's two things with that, honey, that I picked up that just came forward. Not only will it allow you to share your metaphysician aspect of who you are, but I picked up that you and your uncle have a very, very special agreement with each other, a sacred agreement, from the standpoint, I do believe that you are to show him, I know it sounds strange, the shadow part of him. That's not bad. But what you do is you appear to mirror to him the things that he doesn't have answers for, that he's interested in, but he doesn't know how to talk about it, the part
right
of himself that needs to change. A lot of times we think of a shadow agreement as like, oh my gosh, this is really bad. But really what they do is they show a lot of the aspects about ourselves that are looking to be illuminated. Then when I feel your uncle's relationship with you, oh honey, he really shows you your strength. I mean, there's an interesting bond that I'm feeling there. And that he shows you, oh my gosh, you know, Jody, this is who you are, and this is how, you know, what you're capable of. You're kind of like this shining light in sometimes these dark times. And I think that it's that relationship that I'm picking up at a sacred agreement level that will allow you to be able to come in and share with him in a way that he will find hope in what you're saying.
Okay.
So I have to be very blunt also because it just came in. It isn't that he's closed. I think that it's his wife is closed.
His wife? Oh. Yeah.
And it feels like there's a protective of fear, something
now,
that
is
around.
Now, this is his current wife or his ex-wife that's the mother of his son?
His ex-wife for sure. And his current wife, you know, I can feel some similarities there around, even though she's different, she feels kind of similar in a lot of ways to his ex-wife. Is that accurate?
It's hard for me to tell because his,
okay.
His ex-wife has been, you know, she's been outside of the family, even though I've been in touch with her because of trying to be in contact and supportive of that struggle of the my cousin's catatonic schizophrenia, and then I haven't had much contact with his new wife, just in family settings where everything's jolly. So it's,
yeah,
I think
they
both put on a front when family shows up, and it's a, you know, supposed to be a joyous time. So I don't really know.
Well, you know what, and I'm going to, you know, the best I can do, I'm going to validate that. I do believe that it is, there is more underneath. I understand anytime there's illness such as your uncle is doing, everybody gets very protective, especially the people that love us, and they don't want us to
right.
do anything that's going to harm us. But when I go in, Jody, it doesn't feel like this is the thing around your husband as much as it is, I mean, not your husband, your uncle, as it is the people who seem to be influencing his thinking right now. So can you take that and see how you could work around that?
Yeah.
You have a wonderful metaphysician in you, sweetie. You know, you really are a very good medical intuitive. I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself in those terms, but as I'm talking to you, you go right to the clinical aspect, and then I start feeling you connecting the dots.
Right.
That's something
that...
I tend
to do that, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
you
I like
do.
To do that.
Yes, you do. And, you know, you have enough scientists in you, meaning very grounded scientific part, and that weaver of the esoteric. So, you know, that may be part of this lesson, sweetie, out of this for you, or opportunity, let's
right.
say it that way, is for you to develop that part of you because you really feel very skilled to me.
Thank you.
You are welcome. So just see if you can kind of work around the situation and just talk about some things that may offer him some hope. But the discouragement I feel with him is more around the loss of hope than it is anything else, sweetie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, okay, well, thank you so much, and happy holidays and being with your family. Okay, what I'm going to do is let's take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to be right back, take some more calls, and we'll go from there. So thank you for joining me for Conversations with Carol.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, thank you again for joining me today. If you are just joining me, my show today is called Conversations with Carol. It's an opportunity for us to have as much time as possible for me to take as many calls as I can and share my medical intuitive skills, answering your questions about your health or about decisions that you're making or maybe about a relationship. These are always very, very favorite shows for me because it gives us a chance to kind of get up close and personal and actually spend more time on the calls itself. So that is what the format is. Boy, I just noticed the other day out of my busy schedule, the holidays are upon us. And one of the things I wanted to suggest is if that you have a friend that likes to read, I've got some wonderful books out. Books are great Christmas gifts. They're the gifts that always keep on giving. I've actually got 5 books out, Your Personality, Your Health, and then also What Colors Your Personality, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It. That's a great one for relationships that are just starting or relationships that have started and they kind of hit those bumps in the road. And what we realize is that not everybody looks at love the same way, defines it the same way, has the same needs, even when it comes down to intimacy. And then my other book, Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do With It. So many times we think of managing people as being just the business environment, but I'm here at my daughter's for the holidays and everything, and oh my goodness, she's a manager under her own roof trying to manage my granddaughters and everyone else. So anyway, it is a very, very interesting book to be able to read. It gives you a chance to be able to come in and actually talk about the different relationships and look at them differently. And then, of course, my book, Healing Happens With Your Health, that really goes in and looks at 23 common illnesses and the hidden meanings behind it. So you can purchase all of my books from hayhouse.com or amazon.com. Anyhow, I hope that you will be thinking about Christmas gifts and thinking about books. They're a great way to keep on giving. So let's go in. I've got a bunch of callers on the line. If you would like to call me, my number is 877-230-3062. That's in the U.S. and Canada. And then U.S., Canada, and international callers, 425-644-5620. All right, let's go ahead and let's take Wanda from Minnesota. Hi, Wanda.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to your show for several months now, and I'm so excited to hear your voice today. But I have several issues. I have a few emotional issues going on and physical issues, and I'm trying to sort things out and try to move forward, and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere.
Well, let me, first of all, I'll take a deep breath for you, sweetie. The first thing is until we can get these health issues really clearly identified. Have you been working with a doctor, sweetie?
Not for several months, no.
Okay. Yeah, and the first thing is that my sense is that you can't get a clear picture of what's going on health-wise. So your body is still fixated on the fact that you don't feel healthy, you don't seem to have the energy that you're used to running on, sweetie. You feel like we're kind of you feel to me like I can connect dots in you as far as what's going on in your body. And until we can get those physical symptoms to quail or for you to feel like you have control over them from a mental standpoint, it's really difficult to go any deeper and look at some of the emotional things. You're absolutely right. The two are intertwined. One begets the other. But the main thing is, let's go in and let's just start with your physical body. So what is the concern in that? Why don't you start me in a place, sweetie, and I'll connect the dots for you.
Well, the biggest problem that I've been dealing with are my feet. Mm-hmm. A year and a half ago, I had gotten a case of plantar fasciitis, I believe.
Yes, yep.
And I've had it during my life a few times, but I've always been able to get rid of it.
Right.
And this particular time I wasn't able to. I went in to see a podiatrist and he said that I had 2 bone spurs, mm-hmm, in my left foot. Mm-hmm. And he said, keep trying to stretch and do all these things. Sometimes they go away on their own and all this stuff. And so I was trying to do that. But now it's my right foot that is more of a problem. My left foot feels much better.
Right, right.
I probably have bone spurs in that foot as well. But I have not gone in to get that confirmed.
Okay.
I've been on this mission that I think it's some of these emotional things that I'm going through and different events that have occurred this year are twined, and that I don't want to pay to go in and have them tell me that they don't see anything.
Yeah. Well, let me go in. You're absolutely accurate from what you're picking up. The thing that has occurred is over the course of time, and now I'm going to connect some dots for you. The thing that has occurred is the fact that your plantar ligaments had been hyperextended. That's exactly what it was, hyperextended multiple times. This last time, it feels like you actually put micro tears, accurate in both feet. Those micro tears feels like in the right foot is where they get the, if the tears don't get to heal as quickly as they need to, and multiple injuries or multiple hyperextension in those ligaments, it takes them longer each time in order to be able to heal. And so what occurs is when they don't heal as quickly as they need to, for whatever reason, they can create a calcification in those tears themselves that can form themselves in bone spurs. One of the things that Edgar Cayce had written about, and then I've also found in my own body when I've had plantar fasciitis and others that I've talked to about, one of the things that I did is that I actually would go in and I put castor oil on flannel on the bottom of my feet. And I can tell you specifically that the bone spurs that you're dealing with is closer to the heel. It's on the inside of the right foot. There may be a small calcification happening in the left foot themselves. I can get a little bit. But the right one feels that that one's just the one that has had the most wear and tear put on it. So what he would do, as Edgar Cayce suggested, and then again tried it myself and others, is that you put some castor oil on flannel, and then you put the flannel on your feet. You have to be sure you have no allergic reaction. And I would, believe it or not, I would wrap my foot, and both my feet to begin with, but my foot with a little bit of cling wrap or handy wrap or whatever you might want to do. That actually will create a warmth about it and will actually pull the toxin out through the pores of the skin and can start the breakdown of that calcification, those bone spurs.
Okay.
The other thing is that ice is the very best thing that you can use for two reasons. One is that it actually quells the inflammation that is associated with that. Second thing is that it sends messages to the brain to stop sending pain messages back to the pain receptors in the foot itself. There's another aspect of the right foot, sweetie, is not only did you hyperextend, it feels like you've twisted your ankle outward. It feels like both where the hyperextension, and then I can feel that right ankle feel like it rolled out a little bit. So I've got some inflammation in the Achilles tendon as well. That goes up to the back. Yep. That goes up to the back, sweetie. Excuse me, we get this hesitation. Please, I'll be quiet. Go ahead, honey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, not at all.
I was going to say you hit that on the head because it that ankle feels very, very tight and very...
Yes, and so we've got the Achilles tendon up the back, and then we've got it. It goes all the way up into the hamstrings muscles in the back. Of course, the glute that goes in and ties it to that sacroiliac joint. Then you don't get the movement in your back pelvic girdle the way you want to. So here's something, sweetie. Anytime your ankles are tight, you don't have the flexibility in your hips. That causes you to your stride to be different. And what you'll do is you put not only pressure on the foot, but you don't have the movement in the back. And then you become very rigid in the way that your body moves. So you could use ice on your back. You could use ice on your ankle. You could use ice on the bottom of your feet, your foot, freeze a water bottle, do that. The other thing that you could do is some Tremel or some Arnica cream gel. That would work. The best thing you could do is that the reason that you wake up tight with it is your feet are pointed down, and that shortens those ligaments. You stand up. You put pressure on that heel. Now I get the inflammation in the Achilles tendon again. So you'll want to stretch your feet, point, flex, roll your ankles before you get out of bed, clockwise, counterclockwise. That'll help take the pressure off of your back. The only thing that a podiatrist will be able to do for you, sweetie, is the only thing they'll do is they can give you either steroid shots of the ankles themselves in order to loosen them, which takes away some of the discomfort, but not it doesn't necessarily take care of what you're working with. The other thing is to find some ways to quell the inflammation in your body. Ibuprofen is one of the best ways to do it. A lot of people don't like to take it, but it will save you if you did that instead of taking Celebrex or something. That's the medication over the counter for it, meaning through a doctor to write your prescription. Mm-hmm. So that's where it is. So now the psychological part of it, honey. The knees themselves have two major chakras. Each knee has its own chakra. Those chakras are tied to abandonment issues. But they're not abandonment issues, sweetie, like we think of as our parents abandoning us or a friend abandoning us. It's not that at all. What it is that we abandon ourselves. There's an interesting energy that's taking place right now where a lot of us are really kind of reflecting on our life, what we've done, and there's a lot of regret that people are feeling, even though maybe a lot of us said, you know, I'm never going to have regret in my life. We're looking backwards instead of forward. And what that does is that locks up that right knee. It's like that chakra doesn't close. It just isn't as open as it normally is. So literally, honey, when you're just sitting down, just pat the right knee. Love it, love it, love it. Rub it around in a circle, either clockwise, counterclockwise. You'll pull the chi from the bottom of your feet and those chakras in the bottom of the ball of the feet. Pull it up the back, pull it up into the spine, hit that first chakra. Now you're going to feel like you belong. Okay. Now you'll realize you can look at your life of the things that you've done that are accomplishments instead of looking at the things in your life, sweetie, that you wanted to do but didn't do or you just weren't good at or whatever that can help you. When I go up further into your back, up higher, sweetie, into the lumbar part, there's a fear of abandonment. And so what you have going on in your right knee that you're afraid you're going to abandon yourself has a lot to do with your history, sweetie. Love yourself and be kind to yourself. It feels like there's been a lot of people that felt like, from your perspective, that beautiful naivety, that they should have supported you and they didn't, honey. So I go back, lower back, pelvic girdle, sacrum part, legs. You've had to stand on your own two feet and not feel supported for a long time. My sense is that's what you're feeling right now also.
A little bit, yes. Yeah.
So, but what I'd like you to do, stand tall, look at what you've done, look at what you've accomplished, and then how can you take that and step forward? That will help you tremendously.
Okay.
Until we get that mind off of the body is kind of tough, sweetie. So, yes, please tell me.
I'll use those suggestions and see what happens.
Okay, so I was going to let you go, but I'm not, and I'll tell you why. There's something that's really bothering you inside in there, sweetie.
There's several things, yes.
Yep. Go into each of those several things for me, and I would like you to look at them, and I would like you to look at them and say, ask yourself what bugs you the most.
What bugs me?
What bugs you the most. I'm using bug because it's a neutral term. What irritates you the most? So I'm going to go there. Now I'm going to use that term.
Boy, I don't know how to answer that.
That's okay. That's where you go next, sweetie. Go into the things. In fact, you might even want to put them on a piece of paper. What are the things that are irritating you? There feels to me there's three big major things that are irritating you.
Okay.
If you could go in and prioritize which one is irritating you the most.
Okay.
Then the irritation around that, put together some steps that you can take. See the movement, that foot part? Take some steps you can take to make that irritation go away. That's going to help your back. It'll help you psychologically. It'll help your foot, sweetie.
Okay.
Just try that and see if it works. Thank you so much for calling me. You have a happy holiday tomorrow.
Thank you. You too.
My pleasure. Hi, let's jump in. I want to get one more in. Let's take Susanna from California. Hi, Susanna. How are you?
Hi. Did you say Susanna?
I did.
Oh, I'm so surprised I got in. Thank you.
You are welcome. I hate, and we've got, well, actually, we've got a few minutes. Let's just go for it,
okay,
sweetie.
I'll make it real fast.
Okay.
The question I have an issue regarding my heart. I'm only 49, and I've had heart palpitations for about 5 years, and I have very high blood pressure for some reason. My father died of congestive heart problems, and I come from my father's side, a lot of them had heart issues, and I've done lots of my own work. I've done lots of healing, heart opening, heart meditation, past life healings. I've gone to doctors, exercise, vitamins, and I'm just wondering what I'm missing.
Actually, there's just some changes that are going on. Actually, you know what, when you were talking about the different things, from a heart standpoint, the thing that I felt the most when you were telling me about all those different things that you've done,
yes,
is that you've fallen in love with yourself.
Yeah.
You're not rejecting yourself the way you used to.
No.
And instead of all these, you know, this criticalness that you had towards yourself, you have a wonderful kind of a laissez-faire approach to things. It's like instead of them turning you inside out and eating you up and all the metaphors I would use, now I can hear you on so many things going, oh, bummer, and moving on.
Yes, yes.
So
right.
Great job there. One of the things I want to go in with the heart palpitations, sweetie, when you started talking about that, thyroid is going to come in with a normal standard within the range. But you do feel like you are on a low thyroid side. So that may be something you'll want to at least talk to a naturopath about. The other thing is, I can tell you, sweetie, first and foremost, you are not the same personality as your dad. And for me, for the work that I do, while you do have the genetic predisposition, we'd be foolish not to consider that. The thing is you do not, especially with the work, hold that anger inside the way your dad always has.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad has always had this anger and then a lot of personal disappointment. Bless his heart for, see that? Bless his heart, the metaphors that we use.
Yes.
But there are some things, sweetie, I can go in and I can pick up when you get stressed. It feels like you've got a little bit of mitral valve prolapse. A very, very slight murmur. You've had it since you were a little girl. Your body has always worked with it. When you get under stress, it feels like that the heart chamber, that lower ventricle on the left side, doesn't pump up the blood out completely. It regurgitates back. And then I can pick up some palpitations. And I can almost hear like a little bit of a missing of a heartbeat. Nothing, again, that is something to create concern. It just feels like it's part of a genetic aspect of who you are.
Right.
When you get under pressure is the time that I really feel it the most, and I can hear it the most.
Mm-hmm.
The blood pressure itself has to do with your liver. And if you can go in, you feel like you've done a lot of liver work, meaning the first thing I pick up is you've made the decision that you are going to live. The old part, you know, would have been, well, live or die. What I mean by dying is, do I continue eating myself up? Do I continue these things? Or just get over myself and move on. Great job. I love that about you, sweetie. But one of the things is the blood pressure is actually in the liver itself. So I'm going to give it to you two ways. One is that's going to help you understand a little bit of the dynamics of the high blood pressure. The other aspect of it is that your liver needs to be cleansed. It needs to have what I call liver happy foods, grains, reds, orange, foods and colors, rainbow diet. Rainbow diet would be very, very good for you. But that's where I would go in. When I touch the emotional part of the liver, the thing that I find is that you've been really working on is self-resentment, and that's going to help you tremendously. But the blood pressure feels like it's actually tied to the well-being of the liver itself, and the more we make the liver happy, then I think the better that will be.
Right.
So, but the triglycerides are going to be kind of your key as to where you are.
Right. Do you feel, I might kind of have a little bit of guilt about the way my father passed away, and I'm wondering if I still kind of have a little bit of that kind of harboring around in my heart somewhere.
Well, actually, sweetie, that would be in your liver.
Okay.
But you know what? I need to tell you, honey, I didn't pick that up. What I picked up is I picked up, there was some resentment that you held against yourself still a little bit about, you know, maybe not doing enough or not being as responsible enough or, you know, and then a little bit of shame kind of gets in there, not a lot. But in the liver, we hold anger on the right outside, on the top, guilt on the lower part of the liver, on the right outside, resentment on the upper part toward our belly button, the inside kind of half of our body in the liver, and then a little bit of shame. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there really isn't, you know, I can step back with you on this, Susanna. Honey, I want to ask you, what could you have done different with your dad? Really?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, you know, I just need to tell you, I don't really know. And it isn't because you don't know, but I touch you at that level, and I look at who your dad was, and I look at who you are, personality, and I look at, you know, that kind of aggressive part of him, and I can see why in your personality you would want to kind of back away, honestly, or pull back, not to, that you didn't, you know, love him. I know that you did. But when I look at the dynamics that you went through, I keep picking up, honey, a lot of what you did was just really kind of a self-preservation more than anything else. The emotional hurt feels like it was really hurtful. And when I touch you, I think you tried a lot. I think you outreached a lot. And you might want to just go in and spend some time with that and see whose guilt are you really carrying. And if it's yours, sure, your soul's going to tell you. But are you being coming in to be made to feel guilty some way, sweetie?
That resonates with me. It was a big thing growing up, guilt.
Oh, it was. It was.
You know,
not to speak poorly of your dad, but if you go back in, your dad used intimidation and guilt in order to get what he needed. And, you know, I don't mean that when I say those things to speak poorly about people. It's part of their personality and their motivation and the way they get what they need. But for some reason, sweetie, I just need to say to you, you've done so much, Susanna, that is so healthy for you, honey. If you can go in and you can look at this part of it and see what you can do to let it go, I think that's part of the real missing link of why you feel weighed down and you feel under pressure. Your blood pressure feels like, sweetie, you're under pressure.
Okay.
So see if that that can work for you. You know, did you take my personality assessment?
I did a while back. I forget what I was, though.
Well, I'll bet you anything it came up green. You just feel beautiful green, and it feels like you've spent so much of your life trying to live like an orange. And, you know, you're a cheerleader, sweetie pie. You're not necessarily that caretaker, that caregiver aspect of it. You certainly can walk into that role, but sometimes we get confused. But
yes.
I think you've done a marvelous, marvelous job at who you are. And, you know, I just know that the changes that we're going through in this next year, right now, these next few months, getting ready for 2010, that is the year of resolve. All you're doing is cleaning closets and getting rid of things.
That's
so
right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you and happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, and you too. You too. Well, I know I have got a couple more on the line. My, apologies. I try to get through these things as much as possible. So, specifically, Allie, I've got you here on my screen in front of me. Sweetie, if you can, give me a call next week. I'll see your name come up, and we'll do the best we can. I want to thank all of you for joining me today and sharing this time with me. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Light and love, and I'll see you next Wednesday on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.RITBERGER.com. See you soon.